Make sure. Oh, there we go. Turning on the recording. So welcome. This is class two, a Q&A support call. Hope you had a nice weekend. So this is following class two, where we dove deep into gluten. We also looked at the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system response and how you can identify where you are and how to switch into parasympathetic, which is your rest and digest. That's the state you want to be in long term. So I hope you're doing well, letting go, saying goodbye to gluten. So I have a few questions and a few things I want to talk about. And if you come on the call or if you have a question, you can use the chat. I make sure my chat is open. You can type in questions there, and I have some email questions as well. So here I have a comment: the feeling lighter and not bogged down must be the gluten-free making a difference. Yes, that's great, and keep going. And often, just to sort of set the stage, everybody is different. Everybody reacts differently when foods are removed. And if you don't see a big difference, keep going. Sometimes it takes longer, and sometimes you have to dive deeper. But if you do, that's great. Just it is motivating when you notice a difference, so keep it up. And questionnaire, curious about why dates seem okay, but raisins are not. I don't know where you saw that the dates are okay, but there's the tricky part with finding the foods that are best for you at a certain time. Because remember that a diet is something that's constantly evolving in your life, and you have to know where you are, because there's a lot of resources out there, but everybody has their own bio-individuality, and we're also at different places in our healing journey at different times. And that means that we choose different filters or different foods that we allow into our diet. So if we think of where we are on the map, we've just let go of sugar. And if you remember that when you want to reset those reward receptors in the brain and also the taste buds on the tongue, it's best to deprive from sugar as much as possible during those weeks. Maybe it's like 2-3 weeks. And then you'll be able to appreciate more subtle flavors. So I don't like categorizing like real food as good or bad or black and white. So it depends on the context. But in general, we want to be careful with dried fruit because it concentrates the sugar. But let's say somebody is making hemp milk or almond milk for a week, and they prefer the taste better when they add one date. And they drink that milk. They make 1 liter of milk, and they drink it over 3 or 4 days or put it in their smoothies. That's a very small amount of sugar from dates. But let's say somebody thinks, oh, dates are fine here. We can eat as much dates as we want. So they have like handful of dates, like 5 to 10 dates, 3 times a day. We're obviously in a different ballpark. That's because dates are very sweet. That's going to really spike the blood sugar. So we have to remember the context, and that's the tricky part, but it's also where you learn to think. That's what I want to teach you in this course, is how to think so you know if something makes sense when you read ingredients, when you read recipes, or when you put together your own recipes. Where am I right now, and what makes sense for me? So right now, because we're only a couple of weeks in, and I don't know when you sort of started a strict no sugar diet, so it's probably best to not have the dates at this point, and I hope that makes sense. And we can talk more about this in class if there are questions, but it's really about knowing where you are on the map and then how to know what you need at that time. Because our needs are never set in stone. And if you think that, and that's one of the problems, just to keep talking about this for a few more minutes, that one of the problems we have, that it'd be so easy if everybody was the same, needed the same kinds of foods, the same quantities, and we needed the same food at all ages, same food at, during this, all the seasons, and it didn't matter your size, or your health condition, or your activity level, if everything was the same, but it's not. So we have to learn to tune in to what your body needs, and also have a understanding of where you are. Here's another question. I've not tried fermented food. Didn't really see it when I did groceries. Will look harder. You said it would be in the fridge area. Yeah, so where you'll find it in the fridge area is in the health food store. They'll have them in the fridge area. If you go to a regular grocery store, you want to go to the health food section and look in the fridge area there. If your grocery store that you go to on a regular basis has a health food area, because it's likely not in the conventional fridge area. And if you're, I brought a basket here. I just went to my fridge before the call to let you know what I have and where I got them and where you can find some things. And for those of you listening to the audio recording, I will also put photos of these on the resource page under class 2. What I have in my hand right now is something called Living Salsa from a company called Green Table Ferments. And I bought this at the Natural Food Pantry. I actually saw them at a health trade show a few weeks ago, and I bought a few of these. And I'll see if there's a website on this thing. Yes, greentablefoods.com. And it's a Canadian product, Ontario product from Guelph. So you can look up that website and see where they are selling it. But Natural Food Pantry and house near in Ottawa, at least that's where I got them. So that's the Living Salsa. And I also have one called Living Organic Beets. So these are naturally cultured, vegan, fully raw, enzyme-rich probiotic beets. Because beets are really good for the liver. So a little bit of that, especially in spring when it's natural detox time, is good. Okay, keep going through my basket here. So this is a kale kimchi. And this one's also from Green Table Foods, just like the beets were. And this is a little bit spicy. And it's made with napa cabbage, kale, carrot, radish, onion, garlic, ginger, red chili flake, pure sea salt. That's it. And then this is a different brand that's called Carthanes Organic. And this is just raw unpasteurized sauerkraut. And the website for this brand is, let's see if I can find it. Yeah, it's belandorganicfoods.com. That's www.belandorganicfoods.com. And I'll put a link as well and a photo on the website. So this ingredients here are, this is very simple. It's just organic green cabbage and sea salt. That's it. I know some of these Carthanes Organic, they also come in other seasonings, so you can get some variety. But just get used to reading the ingredients. And just to tie back to what we talked about earlier, knowing where you are in your diet. I know when I was on a strict autoimmune paleo diet, this brand of sauerkraut, this was the only one I could have, because they also had some fermented vegetables with some more products. They had one, for example, with mustard seeds. And on that diet, I was not having any kinds of seeds, which includes black pepper and other seeds. So then I was not able to choose that product, but this one with just cabbage was fine. So you just have to know where you are at the time and get used to reading labels. So this one I got at Rainbow Foods in the west end of Ottawa. And I also know that Farm Boy has their own line of sauerkraut. I think they do one with kale, and they also do a kimchi. They're organic. So just be sure that when you use these, that you store them in the fridge, and they should smell, they shouldn't smell bad. So use your nose when you eat these kinds of foods, because they can go off, but usually they're good for quite a few weeks once they're open. But if it smells weird, like your sense of smell has evolved, you know, evolutionary for a very long time. So if it just smells fresh and sour, it's fine. But if you smell something that's sort of off or funky, trust your instincts and don't eat it. Because I have had fermented products that I have purchased that have gone off. It's only happened to me once, I think. Usually it's not a problem. And But just take a sniff, especially if you've had it open in your fridge for a few weeks. That's the fermented foods. And like I said during the class, just a forkful once or twice a day is often enough to keep introducing the healthy flora and to also get a variety of different strains into your diet. Okay, I'm just going to sip my water here. Okay, here in one of the cookbooks, they are calling for half a cup of refined sugar for a drink mix. Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure which recipe or which cookbook you're referring to, so please let me know. But I think, you know, that's not a good recipe for you at this time. And like some of these cookbooks, they're for people who eat, let's say, autoimmune paleo all the time. And sometimes they are like, let's say, a cake recipe or something that's like a special occasion meal. I don't think it would be half a cup of refined sugar, but it may be some of those dates or something, but it's not something you're meant to eat every day. But even, you know, people who are on these diets, you know, sometimes we need a birthday cake or something like that. So. And the Vega brand protein is in one of your recipes. Yes, it's the chocolate one because I looked it up. It's the, I printed the recipes for the Vega protein, and again, it's no black and white, but if you put protein powders on a continuum, this is much better than the whey proteins we discussed earlier last week. This one has pea protein, and rice and hemp protein, and some other ingredients. And so overall, I think it's fine, but just don't go buy like the super, super big pack. We're also going to talk about using collagens as protein. I'm talking more about that in class 3. So that's a product you may want to try as well. There's a brand called Organica. I think it's called Enhanced Collagen. I'm just going to have a look here. Bear with me for a second. Because that's a simpler product. This is, you know, in most cases a fine product, but it just depends on, because for example, the brown rice protein here is not organic, and we know that rice products are sometimes contaminated with arsenic, unfortunately. Yeah, so it's called Enhanced Collagen, and it's by Organica, and it's one that's easily accessible in Canada. And it's hydrolyzed collagen peptides from bovine source. And so this means that it's a collagen that doesn't get thick. You know, if you want to make a gel or something, there's collagen or that you can use from gelos, but this one's hydrolyzed, so it you can stir it into cold drinks or put it into smoothies. And see what the so 1 tablespoon is 8.5 grams of protein. And collagen is very beneficial for your skin, hair, and nails, and for joints. So it's a little bit of an anti-aging type collagen product. And then as we saw in the ingredients in the Vega protein is that it contains hemp seeds. I think I may have mentioned in class that you can put hemp seeds in a smoothie or eat hemp seeds, dip apple slices in hemp seeds. Sometimes they're called hemp hearts, and also chia. As long as all those are tolerated by you, those are also good sources that are uncomplicated, simple, like single food sources of protein and also some healthy fats. But if you want to have a protein powder, the Vega protein is fine, but just be aware how you feel after drinking it. Because some people react to, for example, pea or legume protein, but everybody's different again. So tune into how you feel. Sometimes you're able to buy small sample packages of protein, so you may want to get one or two of those and just see, you know, watch for any indigestion, gas, bloating, fatigue, and just really start tuning in to what your body is saying when you put something that you haven't had before in your body. And then you can start It's like an instrument, yet you are in the process of tuning. So the more you are able to clean up your diet, the better you will be able to see if a food agrees with you or not. And again, it's different for everybody. So it's hard to give, you know, hard, fast rules what we should and shouldn't eat. So I hope that answers those questions. And I just also, well, we still have a few minutes left here, I wanted to talk about some of the resources that I added to class two. So I uploaded a PDF chart. If you can see the recording, you can see it, but just go, it's called Hidden Glutens. So I have at the top of that chart, it says obvious gluten content. So that's wheat, and under wheat, in the wheat family, you have spelt and kamut. And then we have barley and rye as well that have obvious gluten content. And some of the flours and products made from these gluten grains are durum, semolina, brewer's yeast, triticale, einkorn, farro, wheat berries, malt. So those are all gluten. So those are things you want to stay away from. But then you have to be, again, there's no black and white. Sometimes some of the products listed below that may contain gluten are fine. Sometimes they're not. So you have to get used to asking questions, reading ingredients, and when in doubt, go without. So there's a whole category of processed foods and snacks. And then there's also an ingredient type category that includes things like MSG, baking powder, thickeners, binders, brown rice syrup, citric acid, food colorings, spice mixes. It's often the anti-caking agent that contains the gluten, and that could be things like curry powder, onion powder. And then we have a category for sauces and condiments, so dressings, marinades, soy sauces, mustards, ketchups, all those may have some of these ingredients that contain processed gluten products. And also be aware of cosmetics and personal care products. And this is especially if you're very sensitive. From what I understand, if you're very, very sensitive, just using those products can make people react. But the gluten is not able to enter your get in contact with your immune system through your skin. Maybe a different story if your skin is broken, if you have a cut or an injury. But the products that you may be cautious with is things like soaps, shampoo, lotion, hand cream, toothpaste, lipstick, lip gloss. But there's also household items like dish soaps, envelope glue, stamp glue, Play-Doh, glue sticks, and also medications. So often your pharmacist can tell you if any of the medications, if you are taking medications, if they have a gluten ingredient. And this is also, because we'll be talking about dairy next class, but I'll just mention that here as well. Sometimes for inhalers and those things, they use lactose powder as a carrier for the medical agent. So ask your pharmacist if you're trying to get rid of any of these products from your diet that you're not inadvertently getting them through your medications. And also same thing goes for supplements. Read labels carefully that they're gluten and dairy free, and also vitamin E oil may be a product from a wheat-based product, maybe created from that. And finally, I wanted to talk to you about a hand that they added to class one. It's called Track Your Blood Sugar, because we talked about sugar in class one, so I thought it was good to put it there. This is a chart that I use with a lot of my clients, because can't stress enough that getting your blood sugar balance, it's so, so important to set the stage for healing. So if you can become aware of what's going on with your blood sugar, and what we're looking at is basically high blood sugar or low blood sugar. And symptoms of low blood sugar, which we abbreviate as LBS, low blood sugar, are increased energy after meal, a drop in energy level, that's basically at any time, irritated or lightheaded between meals, with sweet cravings in any time slot. So those are all symptoms of low blood sugar. So in this chart, it goes by half hour increments, AM and PM. So just write down if you have any of these symptoms, do it for a few days and see if there's a pattern. And also write on the chart when you wake up and when you go to bed, since, as you may also remember from class one, how much and the quality of sleep you get impacts the insulin the following day. And then symptoms of high blood sugar. This is when there's more blood sugar than in the normal sort of green range in circulation. We can also call this insulin resistance. It's insulin is not able to enter your cells, so it stays high for a prolonged period of time in your circulation. So these three symptoms indicate high blood sugar, and they are abbreviated as HBS, so fatigue after meal, and that you need sugar or get sugar cravings after a meal, or that you need caffeine after a meal. So these symptoms are all, how do you feel after you eat? If you basically crash after a meal, it may indicate that your blood sugar is high. And that could be for a number of reasons, but one of them could be that there was too much sugar content in your meal. Maybe you ate too much, or you ate too fast, so it got into your circulation too fast, or you didn't combine protein, fat, and fiber well in your meal. Maybe you didn't have anything to slow that glucose down. So do this for a few days, and you can also bring your charts to the next class, or let me know what you found for the next Q&A support call. And again, you'll find the Track Your Blood Sugar handout under class one. It's one of the PDFs. I just added it a few days ago, so it may not have been there the first time you went to class one tab to get your handouts. Okay, I'm just going to see if there are any more questions. Otherwise, I think that's all that I have. Let's see here. I'm going to see if there are any questions on Facebook as well. Well, yeah, just one more note to mention on the recipes is that the recipe handout, the PDF handout that you got under class one. It's a collection of recipes that are gluten, dairy, and sugar-free. But I did not create those recipes, just so you know. But like I mentioned before, there are some recipes on my blog that I have made. And I'm working on creating a few more recipes that are really custom-made for this program. But it's always a bit of a process to making these recipes. But I have a smoothie recipe and a Powerball recipe that I'm planning to make for you, and I hope to have them ready in the next few days, and I'll let you know as soon as they are. Because it's always hard, like I said before, to find recipes that are exactly for where you are at that moment, but just learn to read recipes with a critical eye. And I hope that answers your questions, and I look forward to seeing you in class three. Until then, take care.